Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to those of you who have called in. And we're right here with Women Leading Radio Show. We, this day, have a very special leading man. And his name is Eric Kaufman. He's president and founder of Sagatica. And the topic is going to be the four virtues of a leader, navigating the hero's journey through risk to results. So get your pen and paper out because he's got a lot to say. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Cecile. Thank you for having me on Women's Radio. I'm very flattered.
Well, we're flattered to have you too. And I know you have written a book, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about. And it challenges, according to what you and I have discussed, it challenges the common thinking while giving practical ideas on what you have found to be the four virtues or cornerstones of good leadership. What does all that mean?
What does all that mean? It means, Cecile, that for 15 years I've been coaching and consulting with leaders and executives, and what happened after a few, about 10, 12 years into it is that my notion of the model of a leader started taking a really big beating. What I thought and what I was taught about who leaders are and where they come from and what they look like and how they act and how they sound, I found it to be very lacking and very insufficient, because what I was seeing was remarkable variety in leaders, whether it's men or women, young or old, introverted or extroverted, intellectual or heart-centered. There was just such incredible variety that I started looking more deeply at what is it that's common among leaders, regardless of their background or their style or their gender. So that's how the four virtues emerged.
Yes, and I know also your company is called Sagatica. Does that tie in with the things that you're doing?
Yeah, so the company Sagatica, and thank you for pronouncing it correctly, by the way. You're one of the few. Sagatica is derived from the Latin word sagacitas, and sagacitas is where we get the words like sage and sagacious. It means wisdom. And so wisdom, to me, the point of my work is to help cultivate leadership wisdom. Wisdom, specifically in this context, is the capacity to be both introspective, which is to look within, both within the self and within topics, ideas, and challenges, and combining that with perspective. So introspection is looking within, and perspective is getting the big picture. And I think when you can look deep within, as well as rise above and see the panoramic 360 view of things, that's where wisdom arises. And that can be coached and taught and developed.
And it's interesting, and when I listen to you and the things that you're doing, and as I do professional speaking and things also, but you wonder many times when we're out there talking to people, sometimes it seems like it might be difficult to find out kind of where they're coming from and how to bring them together. And when I look at the four virtues of a leader, to me that seems like four things that are happening that we should be looking toward. Does that make sense?
That we should be looking towards, I think it's both sort of individually, right? Because I'm interested in leadership development and executive effectiveness and entrepreneurial success, at an individual level. And it's also, it's, for lack of a better word, kind of a team process, right? Or it's a systems issue. because I think that that's another mistake that we tend to make, thinking that leadership development is all about developing the leader, where I think leadership development, business development, you know, executive teams, it's both and, right? It's about developing the individual and developing the system. And I think that these four virtues are very much individual sort of personal virtues, but they also translate into team behavior and team interactions. And I don't know. I think that it's become very fashionable to just do individual leader development, but you know, there's all kinds of, what does they say, that the chain is only as strong as the weakest link, but it's a chain issue, right? Not just a link issue.
It is. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So when you started working on this book, and one of the questions for me is, how does one begin to stay focused and be courageous and persevere as they accelerate organizational growth? Any one of those would probably help me.
So you're asking about writing the book, or you're asking about the application of the virtues? Which direction do you want me to go in?
Let's talk about the book.
In terms of writing the book, or
I'm sorry, I should have said that.
Yeah,
and
so
because you've created a lot in this book.
I have created a lot. Yeah, it was a daunting process. I mean, to be fair, it's not unlike many of the folks who are business leaders and entrepreneurs, you know, who are the overnight success. Oh, you're an overnight success. Oh yes, you don't know about the 10 years I've been busting my butt.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I have friends of mine who are, you know, in bands and music bands. Some of them got signed by labels and suddenly they were an overnight success. And it literally is 10, 12, 14 years of effort in the background. And I think writing the book, I wish I could tell you that I went to one of those weekend things where in 3 days you write a book, but that was not my good fortune.
And I'm glad it wasn't.
Yeah. I actually started, I started it 10 years before I published it. And what happened over those 10 years is a couple of things. One is, you know, I was trying to collect my thoughts and gather my words. But what I didn't realize until time passed was that I had to actually go through the journey myself and grow up and be mature enough as a human and as a leader to be able to convey the concepts that were so meaningful to me. But, you know, when I started, I had it as a notion, as an idea, as a philosophy. When I wrote it, it was really an emergent expression of my experience. And so I apparently needed those 10 years to grow up and be the author, not just be an aspiration to be that person.
Right.
So it was a labor of love until eventually I got to a point where I said, okay, I'm ready. And then it became, okay, I'm getting up every morning at 5 a.m. and I'm writing, bar none. And it came down to that. You know, it came down to, at the end, me, you know, 10 years of maturing and then a year of dedicated effort to produce the actual book.
Well, you've done well.
Yeah, thank you. I'm very, very happy with how it turned out. And I'm very, very, you know, honored and delighted to have all the people that helped me. I mean, especially writing a book is not a solo practice, right? There's editors, there are readers, there are supporters. There's people who just gave me emotional support when I felt like I was the world's biggest idiot and I have nothing to say. And I think the content is incredibly, incredibly accessible and a little bit different angle and very meaningful for people who want to lead, men, women, teenagers. Yeah.
Yes. Well, you know, and that brings up the next question I want to ask you is that, you know, it takes the leap of faith that we all need to do to move from the old to the new. And to me, and I have a strong faith, and whether we're talking about a spiritual faith or faith that you can get things done, talk to the people that have called in to let them know what you mean by that, if you would.
Sure. The leap of faith. So faith is the fourth virtue. So just real briefly, the four virtues in the book, the four virtues of a leader are focus, courage, grit, and faith. And just briefly, again, for context, each one of them answers a question. And so the question for focus is, what am I creating, right? And so the question of what am I creating is a fundamental discussion about the reality that we are co-creators in the experience of our lives. We are not just sort of, you know, a leaf in the wind being blown around by circumstance. We have a capacity to affect what's going on around us. We affect what's going on around us with our beliefs, what we hold to be true and important. Those beliefs translate into expectations. Those are things that we look for in the world. Those expectations turn into behaviors, and those turn into results, and the results, more often than not, reinforce our beliefs, right? So there's a cycle, and this is how we create and co-create our life, right? So that's focus, and it's an important first position, right? The second virtue is the virtue I call courage, and so courage answers the question, what am I avoiding? Because, you know, I've now asked thousands of people, what are you avoiding? And every single answer has something in common. We avoid things that cause us, you know, discomfort, nervousness, anxiety, something we're afraid of. Like, nobody says that they're avoiding things they love or people they love.
Right.
You know, and so courage is, my definition of courage is to walk towards what you would rather run away from. So it's not about being fearless, which to me is a pointless marketing conversation. Fearlessness is something that, you know, that drug manufacturers are selling. It's not a reality of life. We can't be fearless, but we can
right.
be courageous, so we can cultivate that. And I go in the book in great length about how to cultivate courage. The third one then is grit, which is the answering the question, what am I sustaining? And grit is passion and perseverance towards long-term objectives. And so, you know, I have found to be true in my life, and again, in now thousands of people have asked this of, the things that we've accomplished that are meaningful have usually taken longer and required more energy than we thought. And the things that we're proud of are the things that have been really challenging for us to accomplish, and that takes grit, right? Perseverance, consistency. And I apologize for the long answer, but now we get to faith, right?
Okay.
So faith answers the question, what am I letting go? In particular, because we have been brainwashed into thinking that more is always better. And my experience, my discovery, my research is that at some point, the way to grow, the way to evolve, the way to improve, the way to uplevel our experience is not by gaining something, but by letting something go. By letting something go. And what do I mean? It means letting go of, you know, some authority in order to empower others, right? It means letting go
sure.
of relationships that are no longer sustaining our spiritual or professional lives. It means letting go of habits that were once appropriate but no longer fit us. It means at the highest level, letting go of a form of our identity. What are we attached to in what we think about ourselves that has simply run its course and it's time to let it go? And, you know, that's what I mean by faith. And so faith is, by definition, accepting something without proof. Religious faith, any kind of faith, right, says I accept it without proof. And the leap of faith is willing to go after something that you believe to be valuable, necessary, important, accurate, appropriate, but you don't have any proof that it's going to work. And so you have to surrender. You have to surrender. And I think that is one of the I write it as the last virtue, and it might be the most confounding of all the virtues, and I believe it to be perhaps the most spiritual virtue that brings all the others into greater focus.
Well, I agree with you 100%. Well, you know, before we go into the next question, would you let the people know how they might contact you, your email address or your phone number or your website? Would you take a moment to let them know that?
Thanks. Yeah, my website is the company name. It's Sagatica, Sagatica, Sagatica.com. And I'm happy to respond to emails. My email is Eric, E-R-I-C, at Sagatica.com. And, of course, if anybody still uses a phone, other than to do interviews, feel free to call me at my office. It's 619 is in San Diego. 619-668-8500. 619-668-8500.
Okay, fantastic. So those of you who are very interested in knowing more and perhaps even purchasing the book that he's given you, the way you can reach him. Well, the book itself, and I haven't seen it yet either, but I'll definitely purchase one from you, is you were mentioning Marshall Goldsmith, and I know who he is, and he's the world's premier leadership coach. And he has called your book a truly visionary work because it differs from others who write books that may sound similar but may not be. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, thank you. So what Marshall was pointing to, at least in my conversation with him, was this particular combination. So my life, I was born and raised, I grew up in Israel, and then I lived in South Africa before coming to the United States. And then I came here, and I've been here for 30 some years now, to be sure. But I've also I lived for almost 12 years in a spiritual and a Buddhist community. I ended up spending a year long silent retreat in a cabin that I built in the mountains in the woods. Combine that with working at 3M and Corning and consulting for with leadership teams for the past 16 years. So what I'm getting at is that, on my website I write, that what defines the Sagatica consultants, myself included, is an unrelenting commitment to results with an unyielding respect for the human spirit. And what I attempted and worked on so diligently in the book was to make sure that those two worlds come together in a meaningful way. In other words, the world of results, right? You're a leader. You've got to make things happen. And the world of the human spirit, you are a living being within this context. We can't pretend that you're a machine. So I think the visionary work that Dr. Goldsmith is referring to is in that blending of an unapologetic pursuit of results, right? Just getting things done, combined with this real deep perspective into who are you as a human being, and how does your heart and your mind either build, stepping stones to move you forward, or build or barriers to hold you back, and that's part of what that visionary work's about.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because I know in my life, I was in a bad accident in 2011, and it changed my entire being of who I am. And as I'm much better, and I don't have to worry about doctors anymore, and all, but now I'm looking at who is Cecile and what does Cecile need to do to move forward. I have a strong belief in faith on a variety of levels. And I'm not the same as I was before that accident. And I know the book is about guiding leaders to successfully fuse an unwavering commitment to, say, business results with a deep respect for the human spirit. And kind of for me right now, Eric, is I haven't found my spirit. And therefore, that's what I'm working on right now.
Well, first of all, I'm so glad that you're intact and that you're recovering and recovered. It's horrifying to be in a terrible accident, be debilitated, and have the ordinary life that we took for granted be snatched away in the blink of an eye. So I'm super glad for you that you're recovered and recovering. That's very cool. And I think that, you made a really, really powerful comment about, I'm not the same Cecile. But I think what you have is you have a moment in time that you can point to and say, this is where I got knocked so hard that it shifted me as a person. What most people don't have is the clarity of a moment, right? But every single person, by virtue of life, will come to a point where they have to find their new Cecile, right? That is simply simply the nature of what it means to be a human, is that we grow, we unfold, we discover, we change. And I think that there are many leaders who are frightened of going through what you're going through. I'm not talking about the car accident. I'm talking about the identity.
No, I understand.
Yeah, the existential crisis, this moment at which, you know, the spirit of who am I, you know, what am I about, what's important to me, what do I really want to commit myself to? I only have so many hours in the day. What am I willing to give that to? Because everything that we work at is an altar at which we are sacrificing our most valuable asset, which is our energy, our life force. And what do we want to put, what altar do we want to be, do we want to be energizing and praying to? Because that forms us as much as we form it. And so I think your question of who do I want to be when I grow up, what's the next version of me, is a fundamental question, a huge question of the human journey, and a really critical leadership question. Because there are leaders who don't ask that, and they become automatons. They're robots. They're doing what they've always done. And what happens is they run out of value. They run out of spirit. They run out of juice. And so, you know, this existential crisis that you're facing, I've faced before, I'll face again. It is both frightening and potentially the most liberating experience of our life, usually on the other side of it.
Yes.
It hardly feels liberating when you wake up in the morning going, what the heck am I supposed to do? God, can you please tell me?
That's right, you know. And
right.
My level of faith, too, it has increased. And
it
I'm determined.
To.
Yeah, it has to, and it I have had to. And, and you know, I completely know I will continue to kind of go higher and higher and higher, knowing that it's okay for me to do that. Because like you, I'm writing a book, and I haven't gotten
awesome.
That far yet, but I'm going to be working on it. And knowing that it's okay no matter what. If I make a mistake, I make a mistake. If I can't remember something, I can't remember. Or I'll do things to bring it back. And one of the things, and we're almost out of time, but I still got some time, is that leadership is a hero's journey. And when I saw that, Eric, I thought, that sounds kind of like me. And
yeah.
I mean that when I say it, because leadership is a hero's journey. It's a journey, definitely. And the hero side of it, to me, would lift us up much more than just saying, oh, I don't need to be a hero, or heroes are okay. No, I believe leadership is, I know it's a journey, we both know that, but whose journey is it? And I have made the commitment that the hero journey right now is Cecile.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And if I may, Cecile, just ever so briefly to define what the hero means. One, hero is not necessarily just men heroes. It can be a heroine's journey. But, you know, the mythology speaks of the hero's journey. And to define hero real briefly, because it's important for the listeners to understand that I'm absolutely not talking about Superman or Wonder Woman, right? Because Because what's not working for me with Superman and Wonder Woman is that they're not human. They are superhumans. They have powers and they have capacities we simply don't have. And so what makes a hero or a heroine, but I'll just use the word hero, what makes a hero are three really important components. One is that the beginning of the hero's journey is to leave the comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So when you serve, when you go after a prize of some significance, when you try something new, when you bring a group of people along to accomplish a result or an outcome that has never been accomplished before, that means you're leaving the comfort zone, right? So the first element of the hero's journey is departure, leaving the familiar, leaving the comfort zone. The second element of the hero, what makes a hero, is trial and tribulation, right? Risk and challenge, difficulty, struggle, loss, disappointment, frustration. Without that, there's no heroic component, right? And then the third element, which makes it so critical, without which, again, you're not a hero, is contribution. So it's leaving the familiar, it's going to strive and struggle, and it's ultimately winning the prize and making a contribution, serving the community, the society, the tribe, the team, the business. That's what makes a hero. It's departure, struggle, return in service, right? Return in contribution.
Right.
And I think I just defined what it means to be a leader, right? It means you're going to go after something that hasn't been done. You're going to have to go through all the weirdness and challenges and oddities of running a business, running a team, getting things done. And it seems as though the world is always conspiring against us to make things difficult. I don't think that's true. I don't think the world really has a personal agenda. I think just that it's difficult to get things done because there's a million moving parts and there's lots of desires and there's lots of distraction. And ultimately, the leader who's only self-serving is not a long-term leader, right? The leader who's really bringing the most to people is the one who is able to transcend their own ego needs. I don't mean that they don't have ego needs. I mean, you understand and serve your own ego needs and give back. Serve others. You're absolutely right.
And so much of it is being willing to look inside yourself, because a lot of times people are scared to do that. And looking inside yourself, it gives you an opportunity to come up with what is it I'm really looking for.
It is both looking inside yourself, and it's also willing to sit in silence and listen to what the universe, God, the spirit has to bring to you that you can't fathom on your own. And I think most of the time when people are afraid to look inside themselves, it's because they are not practicing perhaps one of the most important aspects of the heroic journey, which is grace and acceptance. Right? Grace and acceptance, not just towards others, but towards ourselves. I think the lens through which we can look at ourselves, because we're so accustomed to looking at ourselves through the lens of criticism, judgment, denial, and rejection. Who the heck wants to do that? And when we learn to look at ourselves through the lens of grace and acceptance, it's a much easier task and a powerful task and an evolutionary task. Yeah.
Well, you know, this has been wonderful, and I'm sure those who have called in are getting some information. Would you tell them one more time how they can reach you before we have to sign off?
My email is Eric, E-R-I-C, at Sagatica, Sagatica.com. Eric at Sagatica.com. It's probably the fastest and safest way to go. Well, I don't know about safe, but certainly fast. And my if they just want to check out my website, same things, www.sagatica.com.
Well, thank you so much, Eric, for taking the time to talk to our listeners to help me identify some more things about me. And I hope you have a wonderfully blessed week. And for those of you who have called in, always stay tuned with Women Lead Radio. Goodbye.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.